Thanksgiving cod past?
That's exactly what I said. I said cod past, sir. Good day.
I like a good cod past.
Good day, sir.
You can take your cod past. And that kind of became Southern after all.
Yeah, I don't really. I say.
My stars and goddess.
Oh, my.
I think I'm getting the vapors.
Oh, Lordy. South shall rise again.
Lord have mercy. I hope he's not recording that.
I am.
Because
if the show starts with,
Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy. I don't know nothing about birth and no babies.
Welcome to Even More Mashed Up, a podcast featuring two professors talking about all things pop culture. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Alan, and today we've got to talk about Doctor Strange.
What else would we talk about?
We've got a serious program put together. We're going to talk about what the film does right.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about what the film does wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about other stuff.
Yeah, that is a complex structure we came up with.
We're professionals.
Yes.
You shouldn't try this at home.
Yeah. Well, this is our ninth episode. You would think by this point we've got it down like science.
We totally do. If we'd quit talking about how we had it down like science, then we'd be at the finished product.
It's going to be a while till we get to that.
Probably so.
I like to work on the meta level.
I know you do, but that's the English professor in you.
Very meta.
Oh, by the way, Rich is here too.
Hey, Richard.
Hi.
How's it going?
Welcome back.
You know, the waving doesn't help on the podcast.
Mentally, it helps me, you know? I pretend like there's people I'm waving to.
Whatever's working for you.
Yeah.
It's this and more medication.
Can we add this to the what things that went wrong?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, usually when we introduce Richard. It takes a spin.
Things that went wrong, Richard.
Now you sound like my mom.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You know, it's so much better that Richard took that joke than anybody else in the room. Right?
I know.
If I say it hurts less.
Right. It would be.
If I beat people to the punch, I don't feel insincere.
It would be too mean.
You sound like my mom, the Richard Baldovin story.
Man.
So should we talk about.
Which is better than that Long Island chick?
Yeah, let's.
It's a trilogy.
Yeah. It's a trilogy. Because if anybody's life deserves a trilogy,
it's Richard.
Rich.
It's the only way
you can see Spielberg. He's like, you know, I'd really like to make this film, but how do you get it all in one? You know,
I think you need Peter Jackson because it's going to be like The Hobbit. Not like the Lord of the Rings trilogy. It's going to be The Hobbit. It's going to be like one book stretched into three, four-hour films.
Only to be good this time.
I could have done this film in like 30 minutes.
I could have.
But we're going to make it 12 hours.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If I had to live it, you have to live it.
No.
No, we don't.
No.
That's kind of the beauty of life, actually.
Could it be like the Boyhood movie? Richard Hood? Like it's just taped various points.
Do we have
points.
Actuality footage of you as a little kid that we could kind of piece together in that way?
You could just tape Richard from various points.
Unfortunately, yes.
Really? Like your parents had an old 16mm camera or whatever?
No, they had VHS.
Oh, you're not that old. Yeah. Good point. Well, it's hard to judge Richard's age.
Besides the fact that I told you?
Has he?
Oh, I'm sure I remember that.
On the radio show.
Can't believe you forgot. You're a terrible person.
What age am I?
Hey, were we talking about Doctor Strange?
We were, yes.
Yeah.
Back to Doctor Strange.
Yeah, maybe we should talk about
professionalism.
I don't know, Doctor Strange.
Yes.
We've done our you know, standard 2 minutes on Richard.
Yes.
Now we can move on to the show.
Exactly.
Yes. Quota filled.
I'm sorry. Did you ask me something?
No.
That's it.
I was kind of expecting you were going to talk about what you liked about Doctor Strange.
Oh, is that okay? What I liked about Doctor Strange.
Because we were going to start with the good.
Yes.
Remember, then the bad.
Yes.
And then the other stuff.
Gotcha.
So this is the good.
Yes.
Which you're doing now.
Should I start with my favorite part of the movie?
When you want to get started.
I would say favorite part, I got to say, was Baron Mordo.
Really?
I liked the take on him. I feel like there's potential for him to finally be like a Marvel villain that works kind of on the level of Loki.
Right, and that he survived, actually.
But I also like that they did something very different with him than in the comics. Because in the comics, he's your typical sort of mustache-twirling evil magician, wants power, working with Dormammu. But I liked the idea of like he's the zealot that kind of feels betrayed by Ancient One's corruption.
Yeah, and now his transformation. Then.
I did. Yeah, I actually liked the transformation. I liked that he had complexity. I thought it was kind of smart in the way that the movie kind of gave us Caecilius and kind of your typical you know, Marvel movie villain that's basically right. just there to be the villain.
But was really setting up
Mordo.
A much more interesting
villain. I thought that worked really well.
It was interesting because Vicky and I argued about that literally as we were leaving the theater.
Yeah.
She thought that she didn't quite buy the turn.
Okay.
That there needed to be like a little more development in it. But I tended to side with you. I thought it was kind of a really interesting idea.
Woo-hoo, me one, Vicky nothing.
Well, who does Richard side with?
Does that matter?
I have to go with the. Well,
Have you seen the movie?
No, he went with Vicky. He went with Vicky, so you win.
I knew the podcast. Yeah, I went and saw the movie.
Richard has confirmed.
Yeah, no, I was like, again, I got what they were going for. But, yeah. Like, I don't know. I felt like because Stephen Strange, you know, is like, okay, this is what happened. This is why she did it. And as the audience, you know, it makes sense to you, you know. And then at no point does he, like, explain that to Mordo, like, at all.
Mordo,
I'm sorry.
Not Mordo.
Mordo. Mordo. He's the French version.
Yeah. No, it's like the product placement with Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Part of his rage is that he doesn't have enough.
I need more Mordo.
It's his crippling addiction to Mountain Dew that's really caused him to turn.
But yeah, I did. Yeah. I thought I liked that. And the other thing, too, is I just like Chiwetel Ejiofor, the actor that plays him. Like,
he's a great actor.
He's good. The actor was fantastic.
And I liked kind of some of the complexity built into the characters.
Yeah.
And I could buy, again, Mordo. Kind of making that change, right? He's a true believer. He's been disappointed by the person
that he's kind of been trained and taught. Yeah. He's not just like inherently evil.
Right.
Mm. Well, and the other thing is you know, the second teaser trailer with him sort of going after Sorcerer, sort of setting that up.
So there can only be one.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I liked that because the current Doctor Strange comic series is doing kind of a similar storyline where there's a guy, not Mordo, but a completely different character, sort of wanting to rid the world of sorcery. And reading the comic, I was like, this seems like it would be a really good plot for a Doctor Strange movie.
But it totally makes sense, right? One of the things Marvel does, I think, better than DC typically is like kind of a grounding in the real world, which is a stupid thing to say about a movie about wizards, right?
Yes.
But it would make sense if you were a wizard who was a true believer.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch Doctor Strange kind of playing with the laws of nature in ways that he's not supposed to, that you'd be like, the problem is too many sorcerers.
Yeah.
The solution is, like, you only need one, and it's got to be me because I trust me.
Right.
Like, it's a very human kind of response.
Yeah. But, and that's the thing. I liked the complexity that Mordo had.
Yeah.
Which I was not expecting because in the comic books, he's just your typical,
just
inherently evil villain. So that was probably... Yeah. That's probably my favorite part, I would say, of the film.
I had a couple of things.
Okay.
And we can kind of throw them back and forth at each other. But for me, let me start on the downside. Like, the plot was fairly standard in some ways, right? Like, it's
I thought we were doing the good stuff.
Well, it's an origin story. Stuff? Yeah, but what totally made up for the origin story, for me, was the way it was totally sort of geekily grounded in the 60s vibe of the original comic book.
Okay.
Like, there's the scene where Strange first shows up and he's like, you know, he's totally disbelieving, kind of doing his Tony Stark cynic kind of thing.
Yes.
And the Ancient One kind of, you know, pushes him out of his body into his astral form. And he goes on like a 3 or 4 minute, essentially like an acid trip, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. In the theater watching that.
To me, I kind of love the way that it was true to the material in that way.
Yes.
Like, it felt very 60s Doctor Strange.
Yeah, well, it was very Ditko-esque.
Right, yeah.
Apparently the creators of the film literally mimicked panels from Ditko for the Dark Dimension and a lot of that, which I did appreciate
that. You could feel Steve Ditko in it. Like, it had that – and it, I think kind of a risky thing for Marvel to do because this has not been sort of what their movies have looked like.
Right.
Right? But to do that, I just thought it was – oftentimes when you do homages to the original material, it feels really stilted or forced.
Right.
This felt like really natural and organic, and I just it just made me feel like I was reading a Doctor Strange comic book.
Right. Well,
I really appreciated.
You know, Doctor Strange exposure to sort of the magical realm and the multiverse.
Right.
You know, which takes him out of his reality to be something very different from that reality. And you can't really do much better than sort of Ditko-style
Stuff,
art for that.
I mean, college students loved it because they assumed he was dropping a lot of acid when he threw this stuff.
So he wasn't, but
they assumed he was.
Yeah, so I thought that was a very nice homage to Ditko, who probably doesn't get enough credit for his contributions to the Marvel Universe.
And it was a way of nodding back to sort of that, the history of Strange more broadly, that maybe is harder to do in a mainstream film than you might think. But I thought that was done really well.
Yeah. Now, kind of speaking of the idea, you mentioned sort of of Marvel kind of taking risks.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that stood out to me was the change from Strange's accident being caused by drunk driving in the comic to the distracted driving in the movie with the texting. I kind of wondered, is that kind of a Disneyfication of the Doctor Strange? Like, we can't have – because the moment Disney took over – because they took over after Avengers was the first Disney film.
Right.
You know, like, we had hints of Tony Stark's alcoholism in Iron Man 1 and 2, and then it all went away.
Well, I wonder, too, on the other hand, like, if they'd stuck with the drunk driving, right, then you've got one of the complaints amplified that you hear about this film, and that's kind of like Strange is just like Tony Stark.
Yes.
Like, they're so similar. And so if you throw the alcoholism kind of in there, too, then it's just like another level.
Right.
So I think that – I was thinking about this, that the bigger the franchise gets, right, the bigger the Marvel Universe gets, the harder it gets for Marvel to win. Mm. Like, the harder it gets to find something that's original but not too original. Like, the universe is great, but I think it creates challenges on that kind of level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's what I liked best about the film.
Okay.
One of the things that people complain about all the time with superhero films is kind of the unthinking destruction.
Yes.
Right? That we watch entire cities destroyed in Man of Steel, in Avengers. And we don't spend a lot of time –
Age of Ultron.
Yeah, Age of Ultron. Like pick your movie, right? Like, it happens over and over and over again in these superhero movies. Like, entire blocks, entire cities, like, literally, you know, raised into the sky and then destroyed, right?
Yeah.
And the films sometimes nod, like the most recent – Captain America kind of nodded to that kind of destruction. But what I loved about Doctor Strange is the climactic battle scene takes place after Strange puts time in reverse.
Yes.
So you watch Strange battling the bad guy as the city actually knits itself back together instead of is destroyed.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, I don't know why that struck me so much.
Yeah.
But I thought, that's a really interesting idea because I think Strange is a very different kind of hero.
Yes.
And I want to get to that next.
Yeah.
But the villain is just bent on destroying the world, right? Like Supercilious. Is that his name?
Cassilius.
There you go. Supercilious.
Not just me.
How long have you been waiting to do that one?
It just popped into my mind right now.
No, I don't think that's true.
Totally did.
I think you've had that.
So anyway, Cassilius.
Yes.
Is like this stock villain, like you started the
He's
conversation about, right?
Villain,
who only wants to destroy the world.
Yep.
Like, maybe you could buy that he thinks really like the Dark Realm is better, but nobody really thinks that's true, right? He's just a stock villain. But as that battle goes backward, right, or as like the battle is being fought and time is going backward, watching the city like knit itself back together, the film's the opposite of destruction. It's doing it's doing the opposite of what every superhero movie to this point has done. And that I thought was kind of cool.
Well, even Doctor Strange's victory is not your typical victory because he outsmarts Dormammu.
Yeah,
it's not like he outfights him.
Do you know that I hate time travel?
I know you hate
time
travel.
If we talk about this, like, there's nothing I hate more than time travel.
You despise time
travel. In superhero popular culture?
Like, you don't want time travel.
No,
it's not done right.
The way they're doing it in pop culture, superhero television right now, especially The Flash.
Yeah.
We've had this conversation.
Yeah. Yes.
Drives me absolutely nuts.
He hates time travel.
But this, like, that time loop that they had dropped earlier in the film.
Yeah.
And then came back was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. Well,
you know, and watching Dormammu get angrier and I thought it was as good as I've seen time travel done in a while.
Yeah, like that's what I liked about when he first did it with the apple, and it's like he just like, oh, okay, he just pointed out any reverses and forwards, and it's like it's very easy, you know, simple to understand. It isn't like, you know, you see everyone like around him rewinding or whatever. Like, how's that working?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that we'll get to it when we get to sort of my complaints, but that's actually part of one of my issues with
I have a feeling that it probably is.
So
you have any comments on this idea that it's the opposite of destruction? That was my big insight into the film.
Yeah, I hadn't thought because we still do get the destruction,
right?
I guess I could see the flip side of it, you know, from a more critical point of view, sort of saying that the film sort of simplifies the aftermath of such attacks. In that, you know, it's just kind of this magical reversal and, everything's back to normal.
But like it's going to avoid everything no matter what.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but at least in this way, we visually see a city being knit back together.
Right.
Which we never see in films.
Right.
Like
for me, I'd see that critique. The other issue I would have is that you need Doctor Strange, the white hero, to come in and fix everything.
I know you want to talk about race. I know you do. I know it's coming. And we will.
Yeah.
But don't ruin it right now.
Because
Don't bring us down.
Right.
So, okay.
Because the point I'm building to is it makes me think.
You asked me for my thoughts, and then you're telling me not to.
Yeah, but you weren't
thoughts.
Helping me, so I'm now trying to redirect a little bit. Okay. Right? Doctor Strange kind of becomes not quite a pacifist hero.
Oh, good Lord.
But more of a pacifist hero. He's one of the first heroes I've heard express concern about taking a life.
Yes.
He does kill, but when he does, he doesn't. It's not just something he takes for granted.
True.
Like, if you think about the body count that kind of falls around all the other superheroes in the pop culture that we watch, like, people die all around them and nobody cares.
Right.
Cities collapse around them. Innocents die all the time. And except for stupid Batman and the new Batman versus Superman, nobody cares.
Right.
Right. Nobody cares. So Strange, you know, like, for all of his egotism, like, what I found interesting was his repeated insistence that his job was to save lives.
Yes.
Not take lives.
Yes.
Which to me was a welcome change.
Okay.
Which led to a question. Is Doctor Strange, in a closeted way, our first Quaker superhero?
I knew you were going there.
No.
Is he a Quaker?
No.
Well, do we know that he's not? Are we certain?
Yes. I'm pretty sure when he was in his astral form fighting the other dude in his astral form, he was physically fighting him in a way that
that's an astral form. Doesn't count.
Really?
Astral forms aren't real. No.
Really?
No, it's only in the corporeal form.
Corporeal is the term you're looking for there.
Corporeal.
Corporeal is, corporeal. I don't know what that corporeal.
It's only in your corpus that it matters. Not right either.
Yeah, it's closer. But corporeal is the term you're looking for. Yeah, so what you're saying is that.
I'm just saying he's not a Quaker or a pacifist, but he's close. And my suspicion is that he's vegan as well.
I was literally going to ask if you think he's vegan.
Has he eaten any bacon? Have we seen any
apple? I don't think we've seen him eat except for the apple. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I think he's a vegan and he's a Quaker.
I'm pretty sure one of the deleted scenes he's banging on the door in Nepal saying, "Give me some meat."
No, I didn't see it.
Let me in, and I need steak.
Didn't see it. He's an enlightened Quaker vegan pacifist.
I don't think he's.
Thus, I kind of like this film.
This film spoke to me for some reason. One and a half of those things.
Wait, which is the one and a half? Because it's way more than I thought you'd give me.
I might give you enlightened.
Okay.
And half a pacifist of his astral form doesn't count.
Oh, sweet. So, all right, I'll take it.
Oh, my God. He's a halfacist.
To be fair, and that's the one thing.
Thank you for mocking what my entire life is built around. That's nice. Thank you.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, you liked the movie to the extent that it reflected you.
Do you know me?
Yes.
Yes.
But also, this is usually your complaint about me.
I'm surprised that this surprises you.
Yeah, a little bit. It's just your blatant hypocrisy, but you know.
Do you have anything else?
In terms of things that I like?
Yeah.
I do like Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange.
I thought he was fine.
I would not put him on the really great list, but I would put him on the bad list.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, I don't know that there was a lot of depth to his character.
Yeah.
This was
not a film for a lot of character depth.
Yeah, I also liked the various Easter eggs. You know, that we got the Eye of Agamotto.
No, I got that under my other stuff.
We got the Wand of Watu.
You know what I really hate about watching superhero movies?
Yeah.
Like the obligation to catch all of the Easter eggs.
Yeah, it's not an obligation for me. It's fun.
Well, yeah, it's not fun. It's like
totally
an obligation.
Fun for me.
But you know, I never really liked hunting Easter eggs when I was a kid.
Really?
No, there's never any joy in it for me.
Okay.
So maybe it's just a carryover. But
What were in the Easter eggs when you were a kid?
Yeah, you know, like Laffy Taffy.
Okay, well, that's why.
Nerds. Yeah. No, that's what I want. Like, what do you want?
Laffy Taffy's gross.
If you say Three Musketeers, we're going to have the same Halloween argument.
My parents would put money. It'd be like dollar bills.
Yeah.
Quarters. Yeah. Yeah, we put money in these.
Nothing says your risen savior like coins.
Really? Like Laffy Taffy. You know, on the third day, you walked out and had Laffy Taffy. Yeah, because, you know, that's clearly
the
Bible.
The money's even crasser.
I don't think that's true.
The Lord has risen. Here's $5.
Exactly.
Sweet.
Here's $5. Go buy some Laffy Taffy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the end point is the same.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
Yes.
Like, it's going to get you to Laffy Taffy one way or another.
Not me. I would not buy Laffy Taffy because that's disgusting.
Of course you wouldn't.
So, but yeah.
Yeah, so the Easter eggs, I assume you're going to talk about another sorcerer.
Possibly. Brother Voodoo.
I could only assume that's where you were going.
I like the Brother Voodoo bit.
Yeah. Well, now that Mordu is a bad guy,
Mordo,
then Brother Voodoo could come join the good side.
Well, Brother Voodoo's always a good guy.
But now we need him because Mordu has left. Voodoo replaces him.
I'm not quite sure why that happens.
You need sidekicks. You need allies in a war.
Okay.
Are they at war?
Oh, I think Mordo
pretty
seems
at the end of the film, it seems pretty clear
Mordo is declaring war on sorcerers.
Well, or he's just trying to murder all of them. But
yeah, one of the two.
I think you could feel like
I do feel like
a war.
Declaring, you know, trying to murder everyone is pretty close to declaring war.
Kind
on
of a
them.
War.
A little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I'm no Quaker vegan pacifist, but it feels
you are
like
not,
it might
sir.
Be a little bit a little
You're
bit
not
close.
Even a half-assist.
No, I'm not. No, he's embracing it.
No,
you embraced it.
I am not embracing
you have accepted it.
Anything.
So, yes, I did like that.
How about the special effects then?
Special effects, I think, were great.
I found them like totally enjoyable. I know Kendra hated them on the radio show, but wow, you're really a
did you enjoy this movie?
This
I enjoyed it. It was not great for me. Like I really kind of going back to your earlier.
It was
point.
Age of Ultron.
No. It was more Thor/Thor Dark World.
No, it's a step above Thor.
No,
we'll argue this at the end.
I put it right with Thor.
Continue. What's your special effects complaint? Somebody's cranky.
Well, sort of talking about, like, thinking of Steve Ditko.
Yes.
And sort of, like, the sort of weirdness and sort of innovativeness of what he did.
Yeah.
Like, to have the effects basically be nothing we haven't seen before and basically be Inception. Like, I kind of wish they had done something more inspired. Like Doctor Strange should be something new and unique, like going back to that Ditko heritage. And I'm like, I've seen this. I've seen this with the buildings.
I might not have seen Inception, but I thought the way they used it was interesting.
I thought it was a lot more interesting than Inception.
I mean, on the one hand, it is the first film to get me to think, like, maybe I want to go see this in 3D because maybe that would be a very different experience.
I think this film in 3D would be a really interesting experience.
Yeah, but I kind of felt like it didn't feel – like his magic and kind of the things he did didn't feel – as different as I would want them to be. Yeah.
So let's start to argue then.
Okay.
Let's talk about the treatment of women in the film.
Yes.
Your thoughts?
Not great. You know, it seemed like – it was one of the things I felt the plot felt kind of forced that we had
how
to
so?
Keep returning to the hospital so that they could justify how much they paid Rachel McAdams for her role.
That's probably fair.
Like, I'm like, are we going back to the hospital? That hospital has some pretty loose security guidelines, I got
to
say.
What was funny to me is, like, they'd have these huge fights and scenes in the emergency room.
Yes.
And everybody in the hall
next everybody
in the hall
is like, just like, nah,
nothing's happened.
Yeah,
you know, it's a quiet day in the hospital.
And her character is, like, wheeling Doctor Strange in the room by herself. She's like, oh, I got this. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's
not
how it works.
Not how hospitals operate.
So,
an empty operating table. It's just lying around.
Yeah. And, she didn't feel integral to the film at
Agreed.
All. She felt kind of tacked on.
She, in some ways, I think she did. Like, but this is clearly not a film about women, except
right.
for the ancient one. But Vicky was actually happy with Rachel McAdams'
really?
Character. Yeah.
Kind of surprised me.
It doesn't surprise me when she talked about it, because what she appreciated about Christine Palmer was kind of the strength of her character. In this, you know, like, the critics are really kind of down on her.
Mm-hmm.
But Vicky was kind of angry at the critics. She said, look, when Strange is a jerk, what does she do? She walks away.
Yeah.
She doesn't become the typical woman in pop culture. Because what pop culture teaches women over and over and over and over again, like ad infinitum, is that your job as a woman is not only to look your best, but to find the most screwed up guy you can, like the worst piece of human, like, you know, experience you can find and save him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's your job. That's what women do over and over and over again. It's what we brainwash women into believing they're supposed to do.
In pop culture's defense.
Yes.
It's not just pop culture that says that. I think that's kind of American culture.
Fair enough. But I think it's a very American thing that gets amplified in our pop culture, right? Not surprisingly. It gets amplified. And so that she walks away and he keeps, like, inundating her with emails.
Yes.
And she doesn't respond. Like,
true.
There's a kind of strength in that I appreciate for my daughter.
Right.
Right? That you don't just hang out with a guy who's a jerk, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve that kind of attention until he figures it out for himself.
Yeah.
It's not Palmer's job to fix him, right? And she's clearly an accomplished professional on top of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So how about the ancient one? Because that's also gender, but it kind of pushes us towards race, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Well, and again, once you – it's – I guess I just don't see – there isn't a compelling reason in the film to whitewash the character.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
can we talk gender first and then move to race?
Okay. Fine.
Well, I just hate – I don't want to lose the gender.
Okay.
Because the other thing I want to point out was, like, it was a superhero film with no butt shots.
True.
No cleavage shots.
That's true.
No
women
sort
are
of like
overtly sexualized and objectified. Yeah.
Yeah. And so in that way, I think Doctor Strange is getting beaten up a little bit unfairly.
Okay.
I thought it made at least some choices
yeah.
that while underplayed, and maybe it would be nice to have other female characters who were more prominent.
Right.
What they did with female characters moved away from objectification.
Right. Well, I mean, next to Doctor Strange, the female characters are as prominent as any other.
Right.
So, I mean, I mean, Ancient One and Christine Palmer are as prominent in the film as Mordo or Wong. Right.
And that's part of the problem with Mordo, is like you need more Mordo to really feel that transformation,
right?
I think, but that's going back.
Yeah.
So I thought, I like that. I thought the Ancient One was a kind of a strong but complicated character.
Yeah.
She felt human to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, because she made compromises.
Yeah.
Like, she cut corners. She did what she felt like she had to do.
Well, and that's one of the interesting things I found really kind of interesting about the film is kind of the and again, this goes back to Mordo, the reality, or sorry, the morality of the film is you've got Ancient One and Doctor Strange that are very comfortable with a kind of moral flexibility, whereas Mordo is actually the one that is sort of morally uncompromising.
Even Wong to a point, too. You know, he's like never used
And what's interesting is that, you know, that kind of morally uncompromising position, that's the Captain America position. And so that puts Mordo kind of in the Captain America camp.
But it's
again, it's another way Doctor Strange is kind of like Tony Stark.
Right. But it's not surprising, maybe, in the world we live in today that the moral absolutes are seen as dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, because, we probably like having that flexibility.
We do. But at the same time, I don't know that Mordo isn't right in what he does.
Oh,
In terms of rejecting the Ancient One, rejecting Doctor
Strange.
When
he decides to murder everybody and put himself in charge, I disagree with you.
To be fair, he didn't kill the guy. He just re-crippled him.
Fair enough. Huh. But one would imagine there's going to be a fairly large human cost.
We'll see.
As Mordo pursues. Oh, maybe he's a pacifist too.
No, he's not. I'm pretty sure
Well, he can't, because then he and Strange would be the same.
Yeah.
And clearly Doctor Strange too is going to be all about pacifism.
I don't think it is.
Well, you could argue from Mordo's standpoint that if, you know, Strange had made a mistake with time and ended, you know, all of humanity or the reality, like that's a lot worse than what he did. You know, so you could argue that, like, Strange is, you know, with his flexibility, is more dangerous. He just got lucky.
Right.
So, sure. Yeah. But had he gotten unlucky, the result would have been the same.
Yeah.
Not that I buy Doctor Strange breaking the rules. Yeah. So anyway, you were talking about race. That's what we ought to move on to next, right, given time?
Yes. Well, I mean, so, I still don't see – like, I wish they had done more in the film to kind of justify sort of the whitewashing with Ancient One.
Well, there's an easy justification.
What's
Tilda Swinton.
I'm not sure that's a justification.
It is. They could hire her. Yeah. They got her. She's a superstar. She's a terrific actress. They had to find a part for her. Tilda Swinton. That is your answer.
Yeah.
That's probably the thought process of most of the
I'm not saying that that's a good one for the movie.
Right.
But that's a justification.
Again,
it was Tilda Swinton.
I'm going to go back to what I said, which was that I would like an explanation in the movie, which that is not an explanation in the movie.
It is.
Actually,
it's Tilda Swinton.
No, that's exterior. Like, I would like one in the narrative of the movie.
I'm sure you would.
Because there's just that kind of random, like, oh, she's Celtic. I'm like, okay, but why did we make? Well, I'm like, okay, so we're throwing that in. Like, it didn't massage it enough for me.
No,
but it was also not the most objectionable part of the film in terms of race for me.
Okay, I've got a bigger complaint than Tilda Swinton.
Yeah,
but like, my question was, in all seriousness, how do you handle the character of the Ancient One?
Yes.
On the big screen.
Yeah.
Like, the Ancient One is racially problematic from the beginning.
Yes.
Right? So we could say it would be way better if they hired a Tibetan man to play a Tibetan man. But would it? Like, I'm not sure that's necessarily true. I think that the filmmakers might have found themselves open to the same kinds of criticisms.
It would depend. I mean, it depends how they would do it.
Absolutely.
You know, because, I mean, if they hired like some ancient, wizened, old Tibetan man to play that kind of old sort of Fu Manchu type, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if they, I mean, you know, if they had sort of a non-white person, say, that's not an old sort of mystic guru.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of space between Tilda Swinton and,
Oh, no, I don't disagree with that. Yeah. I don't disagree with that. But it doesn't have to be old, right? Like, as long as it's Tibetan, as long as it's Asian, I just think you run the risk of people saying, well, here we go. Like, it's an old racist stereotype,
pulled from the comics and plunked down into a movie. And
but so, I like to think that there's ways that they could.
I don't disagree with
engage
that.
Engage with that.
I'm not saying again.
Yeah. Rather than just sort of dodge it.
Not really listening to me.
No, I'm listening.
I'm not saying they couldn't have, but what I'm saying is it could have run all the same risks.
Yes.
Right? Like, if they didn't write Swinton well enough for you, right? Mm-hmm. If the White Ancient One wasn't written well enough for you, like, I'm not sure. Like, and that's the problem. Like, again, I think it's a really tough nut to crack for Marvel.
It is.
Like, to create that character. They did it right with the Mandarin.
Right.
Right? The Mandarin where they showed Fu Manchu the whole film mm-hmm. and then blew up.
Right.
Like, just totally destroyed it.
Yeah.
That's what they needed to kind of do here in a way, but they can't.
Right. Well, I don't know that they can't. They didn't.
Well, they can't do it again.
Well, they can't blow it up in the exact same way, but they could maybe sort of play with
Agreed.
It.
Agreed. They've got to find a way to do it. They've got to find a way to do it, but they don't. Yeah. And so she just becomes kind of a white ancient one.
Yeah.
Because she's a white ancient one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's there.
Yeah, I agree. That's a problem.
So,
for sure.
But again, not my biggest problem.
I've got a bigger problem, but you go next.
Well, my bigger problem is that the issue is sort of is that the film is very much sort of based in kind of the white savior motif.
That's where I was actually going to go.
Yeah, I figured
next.
That's what is that, you know, they need Doctor Strange, they need the white guy to come and defeat the bad guy that none of the non-white characters can defeat.
Because Doctor Strange shows up and there's 10 minutes where he's like, "I can't figure out how to open up a portal," or
right.
"I'm struggling with my magic." But once he figures it out,
right.
It's like him, right? Yes. He possesses all of it. He goes
right.
from absolute novice to a guy who can steal books out of the library. Mm-hmm. Funny scene.
Right.
But like the underlying message is sort of this kind of white supremacy,
right?
What you need is a white guy who can step in where all these non-white people have been training apparently for decades.
Yes.
And, you know, within a couple of weeks or as long as it takes him to grow out a beard.
Well, that raises a couple points.
You know, he's mastered it.
I mean, that raises a couple points. One is that, I mean, in terms of like the train, like the sense of time in that training montage really sort of throws me because it starts off with at the beginning where, you know, she says, "Well, how did you become a doctor?" He's like, "Years and years of practice." And I'm like, okay, so he's going to do years and years, but there's clearly going to be some like time is passing faster here than it is in the real world explanation.
Right. Yes.
But there's none of that.
That would have been great, right? Something like that would have. But even then,
it
doesn't fix the problem.
No, it doesn't.
Which is the white savior problem.
Right. It doesn't. Right? Sort of adding that is at the end when Ancient One sort of tells Strange, you know, Mordo needs you because of your flexibility and you need Mordo because of his strength.
Yeah.
But in the end, it was just Doctor Strange's flexibility that saved everything. Like Mordo, I don't really think did a whole heck of a lot. Except fight some of Cassilius's thugs. Right. So and, really, you didn't need Mordo either. You just needed the White Savior.
Right, unless the Ancient One is looking down the road into future films where Mordo changes in some way, but we don't know that's going to happen.
Again,
it doesn't happen in this film.
Yeah. I think that's the bigger problem is that. And again, you've got the White Savior motif is that he's the guy from the West that goes to the East. Yeah. And automatically can do everything they can do better.
That's the problem with the film, because I was talking at dinner with some friends last night, and they were like, "How do you not love Doctor Strange? It's like an adult Harry Potter with kung fu thrown in."
Mm.
And it kind of is.
Yeah.
Like the cape and the way it picks him. Like there's moments where you're like, "Oh, like this is like kind of a more grown-up Harry Potter." But like, buy it or not, right? Mm-hmm. Like it kind of exists that way, and yet there's like this whitewashing and this issue of race that kind of runs under it.
Right.
Which points to the problem with Marvel, right? Which they still haven't made a film about a woman.
True.
Right? They're only slowly kind of working their way towards making a film about a black man.
Right.
Right?
But we're going to get that film before we get the film about a woman.
Right. It remains, despite the fact that Scarlet Widow's like, where's Scarlet?
Scarlet Widow?
No.
You mean Scarlet Witch
Scarlet
or Black
Witch,
Widow?
Black Widow.
Okay.
Breakout,
no,
breakout star, right?
Title, Scarlet Widow.
I like Scarlet Widow would be a great mashup,
like
actually.
Scarlet Widow, yeah.
Yeah. But she's a breakout star from the early films. Like, why is there not a film?
Yeah.
Like, there really ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, other stuff? Or do you have more complaints?
Well, I mean, I do.
Because I'm out of complaints.
I've got other complaints. Oh. Well, again, going back to the time travel that you brought up.
Yeah.
I think probably my biggest issue is like the moment like he did the spell with the apple.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, "Ooh, you're violating the laws of nature." And I'm like, and there is how our climax is going to be resolved.
You always know the film before it ends, though.
Very,
so that means nothing to me.
It was a very predictable sort of by the numbers film.
I think that's where I started. This is a very predictable by the numbers film.
Like
there's
that's,
no doubt about it.
That's kind of my sense of it. It feels like they're going for sort of an Iron Man 1 vibe. But it's Iron Man 1 if that had been the 14th Marvel movie, which kind of felt like we've seen this before.
No, agreed.
Like, the plot felt very strung together in terms of the multiple returns to the hospital.
Yeah, no, it's the problem that Marvel, I think, has arrived at.
Yeah, I mean, it just felt like there's very little, you know, and this goes back to my issue with the effects. It's like the astounding nature of the effects feel like they're there to kind of paper over what's a pretty tissue-thin plot.
Well, you could make the argument that Doctor Strange should be, like, maybe more, like, the image and less the plot, given kind of where it comes from. But I can see what you're saying. Yeah. Like, it definitely is not
– Yeah,
it's not sort of the most meticulously plotted.
Right. Well, and again, you know, the whole revelation that, you know, Ancient One was sort of using Dark Dimension energy.
Yeah.
Like, that came out of nowhere. Like, there was no reference to her doing it earlier.
Right.
When he looks at the pages in the book where supposedly he learned it, there's nothing to indicate some greater revelation there.
But more importantly, there's no real exploration of what that means for her character.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what the cost that she carries.
Or right. Well, because we found that out and then basically she's dead.
You know,
right.
It seems like why doesn't everyone else do that, too?
So, again, it was sort of – and then, like I said, the sense of time in the film. I was just like, I don't know – you know, like – when he finally shows up, you know, Chambers sort of like, where have you been forever? And I'm like, I have no idea how long it's been.
Right.
Like,
and he's immediately years like a practice. Terrific fighter.
It's been, you know, like 2 weeks. Like, how long has he been training?
You know, months, maybe
it
a year.
Was
tops.
Really, it gotcha. Was really sort of, yep. of hard to say. So that
I
would
could
be
only
kind
judge
of,
by his beard.
But yeah, I'd say so that those are sort of my complaints.
All right. Other stuff.
Yes.
My first other stuff was how I hate hunting for Easter eggs. So
yes.
We'll take that off the list.
I like hunting for Easter eggs. Oh, actually, for me, it's not a hunt.
Oh, the cameo with I'm blanking on his
Stan
name.
Lee.
Yeah. I'm getting so sick of those.
You got the Stan Lee.
You got the brother voodoo set up. It's got to be there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what else. It's just, like, it has to be there. I'm not surprised.
Apparently, in the room with the cloak of levitation, you can also see the Black Knight's helmet.
I saw that somewhere. I read that online because I didn't actually see it.
Oh, I didn't see it either, and I can't even see it in the picture that I saw online. I'm like, where is this helmet? Yeah, like, they said it's on the right. I'm like, looking. I don't see.
I have an idea under other stuff for a true mashup.
Oh Lord,
Doctor.
You mean like
Stranger Things?
What do you mean, don't?
Doctor Stranger Things. Yes. Come on.
I'm just going to point out on my notes.
Yeah.
I titled them Stranger Things.
But it's not my idea to mash them up. Doctor Stranger Things.
I don't know.
You take Doctor Strange and Eleven and you put them in a film together.
Oh. Okay.
Or you take a sheet of paper and you fold it over and you push a pencil through it and pow, they're in the Upside Down.
Mm-hmm. Or they're in the Dark Dimension, which would actually be the mashup because everything you just said there was just from Stranger Things. So the mashup.
No, Doctor Strange is in it.
No.
How they're in the Dark Dimension.
No, that's how Eleven gets to like Doctor Strange's universe. She does the Upside Down.
I want Doctor Strange going into the Upside Down.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
He did in the movie because remember the whole thing went upside down.
The Demogorgon. Strange. Come on, it'd be great.
Demogorgon, Dormammu.
You're not really buying it.
How about a Demo Mammu?
That's not bad. Not bad.
A what?
Demo-dew. That's good.
Yeah.
Demo-dew.
Yeah. No one can hear
so
them,
where would you
so
place
apparently
Doctor Strange?
Doctor Stranger Things is... Wait, I got one more other stuff that we got to talk about.
You got one more?
Yeah, Extraño. He's back in the DC universe.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Extraño is back. The gay Peruvian magician.
Yes.
That was kind of like the flag bearer of 80s DC multiculturalism.
Yeah, and also
all the worst ways of multiculturalism.
Yes. Yeah, we probably need a little bit more of a transition there from Doctor Strange to Extraño.
Well, but he's been described as DC's new Doctor Strange because the new Extraño is a very serious, bearded, like, graying guy. He looks just like Doctor Strange.
He does look just like Doctor Strange.
And they've erased kind of all of the...
is that race with an S or a C? Erased?
Good one. I got it. All of sort of flamboyantly stereotypical gay stereotypes that circulated around him. So you excited about Extraño coming back?
I'm intrigued.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see. You know, it adds sort of a nice coda to our book.
Yes, we need to get that in the book.
Coming out.
Yeah.
You know, sometime in the near future.
One would hope that it will be coming out.
Yeah. So
you never know with a book.
Going back to Doctor Strange.
Doctor Stranger Things.
Where would you rank it among the Marvel movies?
Well, I tried to put together a list.
Mm-hmm.
It went like this. Tell me what you think.
Uh-huh.
Top of the list. I've got two in the top category.
All right.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Those are my top two.
I can agree with that.
Okay.
Okay. Then there's a next tier,
Captain America Civil War, which is the best Avengers movie, and Marvel's The Avengers.
No, Avengers is the best Avengers movie.
It's not.
Mm. Yes.
You think it is, but it's only because you're a fanboy.
I'll go with Alan on this one.
Is. Thank you. Only that means I lose.
Yeah, exactly.
Darn
Richard's,
it. All right,
Richard's on your side.
I'll
ponder
reverse
that
those
one.
Two.
Yeah, ponder that.
Yeah.
Ponder
I win again.
Then in my next group, next tier down,
uh-huh.
Captain America First Avenger.
Okay.
Iron Man 3.
Okay.
Iron Man.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Then the next tier down is where Doctor Strange shows up. I've got him in a lump with Ant-Man and Age of Ultron.
Yeah, see, I'd put him lower than both of those.
Well, I might put him at the bottom, but to me,
then
you're looking at the bottom feeders.
Yes.
Thor, Thor the Dark World.
Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Like, that's my list.
Yeah,
like, if I had to put them in order, and I had trouble, like, giving them 1, 2, 3, 4, but I didn't have trouble putting them in, like, kind of clumps like that.
Well, the other thing for me that sort of puts Doctor Strange closer to Thor the Dark World than Ant-Man
or
the Thor movies is that Ant-Man, because I agree, it's kind of that's kind of where I would have it as well.
Okay, so we're almost on the same page.
Is that at least the thing that differentiates Ant-Man is that it had a unique identity as a film.
Right.
It was a caper. Yeah. Doctor Strange, like we've talked about, it's basically a riff on Iron Man 1. It doesn't really have, like, its own unique identity.
The problem is it comes out of that Marvel canon where Stan Lee wasn't creating a whole bunch of really unique characters at that time. Like, there are a bunch of white guys with the similar kinds of, like, human frailties and problems that they have to overcome to find the hero within.
Right.
Yeah. No, I agree. So, I agree. I mean, and so maybe Ant-Man above, but to me they're in the same kind of
area. Yeah, I mean, again, for me, Doctor Strange is kind of right somewhere in the mix between, like, Ant-Man and the Thor movies.
Right. The only one that I don't care for much anymore is Iron Man 2. Like, to me, that's clearly at the bottom.
Oh, that's the weakest of them all.
Thors are not great.
The Thors are not terrible.
But they're entertaining films,
right? Like, I mean, when I talk about Thor being kind of the bottom, we're talking about a movie that I'd probably give, like, a B, maybe a B minus at worst.
You watch them, but you kind of forget about them.
Like, yeah.
Whereas Iron Man 2 is just a hot mess of a movie.
Like, I would give it a C.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly
it's like
where they
C
were
movie.
Still – they still hadn't figured out, like, how to mesh – the universe together.
Right.
Like every time they, like, the problem with Iron Man 2 is every time they try to expand to the bigger universe, the movie's plot just comes to a grinding halt.
Yeah. Right.
You know, the scene in the restaurant, the scene where they're fixing they're creating the element that they couldn't create, which I still don't quite understand that.
Yeah.
You know, to reveal the Cap shield, like,
it's like
grinds to a halt.
It's like watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Right? Like, where they just try to keep forcing, no, we're really part of a larger universe.
Yeah. Sure you are.
You really aren't. Yeah. But, like, in the Marvel movies, Iron Man 2 is the only one that's in the C range for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like,
Iron Man,
to me, the rest of them are all at least Bs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say.
So,
better.
Yeah. I think to sum up my take on Doctor Strange, I would say that it wants to be another Iron Man 1, but can't quite capture its magic.
I would disagree. I think
capture the magic.
I got it.
Strange.
I don't get it.
God, quality stuff.
How long were you waiting to drop that one?
I got that written right down here.
That's what I thought. Yeah, you're waiting a long time.
Yeah, it's highlighted and it's
right
got
there.
Little stars.
Because you know what?
It.
You might forget that point. Yeah.
I've also got a hee-hee written right next to it.
To remind you to laugh.
At least you're enjoying yourself.
I do.
I think of it a little bit differently.
Patrick
it
Hamilton
was a
story.
Film that knew it was supposed to be an Iron Man film and was trying to find a way to do something different.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure it totally escapes that.
Yeah.
But I think there was an awareness that they didn't want to just be Iron Man.
Yeah. But I don't know that they quite – and maybe that's part of
agreed.
What,
I don't think they quite escaped
maybe
it.
Maybe that's part of why they struggle is that it's too – it's too much based in trying not to be Iron Man, and yet it kind of ends up being Iron Man.
If you just swap technology
– with magic.
For sorcery.
Yeah.
Like – but the problem is, like, that's the source material.
Right, exactly. I mean, Doctor Strange is not terribly different from Tony Stark.
I think that's why I give them a little bit of a break on the Ancient One. It's really hard to escape that.
It is.
You know, and find something that works today that appeals to the fanboys and the canon and kind of takes some stuff that is a little bit racist in its origin and turns it into something that's better.
But I guess that's sort of my issue. And again, I think the Iron Man 3 comparison is apt, is that what they did in Iron Man 3 was they sort of engaged with it.
Right.
Whereas in Doctor Strange, they tried to escape it. And I think that's kind of my problem.
They definitely glance away.
Yeah.
As opposed to looking at it.
Yeah.
I think also Iron Man 3 kind of sets a bar so high for me.
True.
That I don't expect any film that Marvel produces.
Yeah.
to hit race as well as it did. Because that took race, the war on terror, in the world we live in, and just exploded.
Right.
Like, all of this kind of racist understanding.
And that's kind of like I looked at that, and I kind of wish the guys that wrote Iron Man 3 had written Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that I was agree. Kind of my,
like,
I agree.
Like, that would have been. Or even the guys that wrote Iron Man 1 had written Iron Man 3.
So ultimately, then
Doctor Strange. I mean,
we're still on the same page in that it's good but not great.
It's good.
Film.
It's not great. Yeah, I mean, it's not like I hate it.
It's definitely better. One of the better, sort of meh movies that they've made. You know, it isn't like Thor again.
I wouldn't even make it meh. Like, I think it's better than meh. But
now I did find one Forbes article.
Yes,
where they ranked Doctor Strange as the third best of all the Marvel movies.
Well, the two in front
third
of
best of all,
only behind Guardians and Avengers.
I mean,
they had a top five. Their top five was Guardians 1, Avengers 2, Strange 3, Ant-Man 4, Civil War 5.
I could see people seeing this one as a really good one, like, especially like maybe you haven't seen all 14 or whatever.
Well, it maybe depends on what you're looking for. Like if you're not going to harp on the race, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, but like if you're not going to worry about sort of like the racial problems in the film, I think you could look at it and see it as a like, it would be a better film for me, I think, if it didn't have those kinds of issues.
Yeah.
But it would not, rise above Winter Soldier.
Yeah, well, their argument for why – I looked it up because they had Civil War, and they said the reason Civil War edges out Winter Soldier is because it does what Age of Ultron should have done. Provide us with a compelling assemblage of our ever-increasing litany of MCU superheroes.
Hmm.
So – I'm not sure I buy that. That seems like a really weird standard.
I mean,
but
no offense, but it is Forbes.
Yeah. So, but I found that really weird that, like,
that's overrated. Like, third best Marvel film, probably not. Well, Bobby. And Bobby loves everything he sees, right?
Right.
Like, no matter what it is. Like,
well,
it's
Bobby
great.
Thinks Suicide Squad is good.
Yeah.
So,
he thought, he said, maybe, like, the sixth best film.
Oh, Bobby's an idiot.
That's my son.
Oof. I know.
Okay. Well, but wait a minute.
I say that in a very endearing way.
In our list, right?
Bobby, I love you, but you're an idiot.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Like, we've only got him at 8 or 9, probably. Like, the difference is not substantial.
No, the only thing, there's
14 films, there's only three
behind him. He's at 11.
8, 9, 10. I got him at 10.
Yeah.
See, but I could see
you have him ahead
of 7 Ant-Man. Or 8 or even 6.
No, that's behind Ant-Man. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
if
6.
If there's 14 films.
There's 7.
He's behind 3. He would
8,
be 11.
9, 10. Do you want me to count them for you?
The only film, there's four.
Do we agree? Guardians of the Galaxy, Winter Soldier, Civil War, First Avengers.
I would flip some of those, but
Marvel's
those are,
the Avengers, right?
Those are,
but we're
those
just,
are
we're
essentially
counting.
In the top four or five.
Okay, Captain America, First Avenger.
Yeah.
Iron Man 3, Iron Man.
Yeah.
Ant Man, Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Flippity flip.
Okay, but then Doctor Strange. So we've got him at 10, because there's then Thor. There's a Hulk film. Are you counting that one?
Oh, maybe that's what it is. They're counting the Hulk. Okay, that's
then,
what it is.
And then Iron Man. I've got the Hulk down there with the Thor stuff.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the Hulk one. I thought when we talked about that one, I forgot about Hulk. Yeah.
So Bobby's only like three or four off from us, is my point. So,
and I guess that's kind
he's not a complete idiot.
Yeah. No, he's just like.
If I could defend my son. He's only partially an idiot.
Yeah, he's partially. Your defense of your son is that he's partially an idiot.
I'm doing the best I can given your smear job.
So. But that's the other thing I think with Doctor Strange that kind of bothers me is it feels like – I mean, you look at the films that we're grouping it largely with.
Yeah.
Hulk, the Thors, Iron Man 2.
I put it
like
in the –
like it's going back to the very early days. And it felt like a very early day.
You're using we too broadly, Kemosabe, because to me, Doctor Strange is with the Ant-Man Avengers Age of Ultron.
No.
Just a notch above those two.
Yeah, no, it's a
but
notch
even
below
that,
those
a
two.
Notch above those isn't that – better.
Ant-Man's a very good film.
I like Ant-Man.
Like, I found Ant-Man to be like,
I didn't like
Ant-Man
it.
Is a pretty fluffy film, but
it's a
like,
fun movie.
It's fun.
And I like it's got its own kind of unique identity.
Isn't it okay just to be fun sometimes?
Yeah. No, absolutely not.
I think that's pretty much the motto of this show.
That's why we have Richard on the show.
And if Richard is not embracing the motto, I'm not sure he should be a part of the show.
I agree. But if we've killed the fun, you know what that means?
That means we've probably come to the end of the show.
We've killed the show.
Yeah.
Not like the entire podcast.
No, I know. You meant this particular episode.
This particular episode now seems dead.
Yeah, it does. It feels like we killed it. Thanks, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
And by
way,
I mean you.
Know what it's like to be me.
Richard killed it.
Yeah.
Do I?
Now you know what it's like to be me, the Richard Balaban story.
That's right. Yes.
That's a third one.
I know.
So what it's like to be Richard is to ruin things for other people?
Apparently. He's a ruiner.
I don't
You suffer as I have suffered.
You know, He's kind of like the Doctor Strange of this show.
No, that's too high a praise. he would be...
Even I wouldn't agree with you.
He would be the Mickey Rourke of this show.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. That seems fair.
What's wrong with Mickey Rourke?
Iron Man 2.
He's
an
Iron Man
2. What's wrong.
You know what? Right. He's the Iron Man 2 of this show.
He is the Iron Man 2 of this
He's
show.
He's the Iron Man show 2.
Yeah.
I'm the Avengers of the show.
He's not cool anymore.
I'm assuming you'll want to be the Winter Soldier.
I would be the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be the best film. Yeah. Although I might be the Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's fine.
That'd be fine, too.
Yeah, Avengers, Winter Soldier, Guardians would be my top three.
We almost had the show done.
We did.
Remember, we had killed it and it was dead and we were wrapping it up.
I'm bringing it back to life. Yeah. I'm like Dr. Chambers and Dr. Strange.
Live, damn it, live.
Live, breathe.
More jewels.
Yes.
Claire.
So, hey, next week, by the way.
Yes.
Things we're thankful for in pop culture.
That's
because
right.
It will be Thanksgiving week.
Yes.
Looking forward to it.